tuned for the KBOO Fair and Balanced Morning News.
Good morning. It's Monday, December 19th, and this is the KBOO Morning News. I'm Becca Bartleson.
And I'm Blaine Palmer. Coming up on this program, Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon is in good condition after suffering a minor stroke.
The U.S. Department of Energy fines Flora Hanford more than $200,000 for safety violations.
And government surveillance of telecommunications between the U.S. and Afghanistan began immediately after the 9/11 attacks.
Today's Portland area weather forecast, according to the Associated Press. Today, rainy and light freezing rain at times, highs 30 to 35. Near the gorge, east wind 20 to 30 miles per hour, gusts to 45 miles per hour, increasing to 55 in the afternoon. Elsewhere, east wind 5 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, rain and light freezing rain likely, lows near 30. Southeast wind 5 to 15 miles per hour, except east wind 15 to 25 miles per hour with gusts to 45 miles per hour near the gorge. The U.S. Department of Energy has fined Flora Hanford Incorporated more than $200,000 for violating the department's nuclear safety requirements. Flora Hanford is the primary cleanup contractor at the nuclear reservation. The Energy Department manages cleanup at a highly contaminated South Central Washington site. This site was created in the 1940s as part of the Top Secret Manhattan Project. Cleanup costs are expected to total $50 to $60 billion. The department cited a series of violations that occurred at the plutonium finishing plant between September 2003 and July 2005. The notice also cited recent and more significantly critical safety issues, which are representative of long-standing critical safety deficiencies dating back to 1996. Flora Hanford could have been fined $275,000 for the violations, but the Energy Department mitigated three of the four violations in recognition of the steps Flora Hanford had already taken to correct the problems. Cleanup at the Hanford site is expected to continue until 2035.
Every year, the state of Oregon gives businesses millions of dollars in tax breaks simply for complying with its environmental laws. The law governing its pollution control tax credit is so broad that the state can end up subsidizing projects that its own environmental regulators think will do little or nothing to curb pollution. Companies often get tax breaks for buying the basic equipment they need to provide their already profitable products or services. Tax credits, as government spending, can amount to the same thing. They create a dollar-for-dollar cut in a taxpayer's liability and represent money that does not go into state coffers. As the state struggles to pay for basic services, many lawmakers are more closely scrutinizing tax breaks and looking to eliminate those deemed ineffective. The pollution control tax credit tops their list. The tax credit was enacted in 1967 to compensate industrial employers for upgrading their factories to comply with newly minted federal and state environmental laws. In ensuing years, it has been repeatedly expanded and renewed. Preservation of the credit is a core priority of the business community and its key lobbyists, including Associated Oregon Industries and the Metals Industry Council. Those groups contend the break remains a vital tool to attract and retain jobs. Any threat will be controversial, according to the Oregonian. The credit is set to sunset December 31, 2007, if nothing is done.
A proposal to scrap a fleet of government ships in Oregon could carry with it a dangerous cargo, according to the Oregonian. The state may be facing underwater holes fouled with masses of exotic aquatic species from San Francisco Bay. Many of the organisms are potentially invasive and could be harmful to the state's rivers and bays. San Francisco Bay is considered one of the most contaminated water bodies in the world for its exotic species. The ship's holes carry masses as thick as 4 inches and packed with organisms, but no one knows specifically which organisms are present or in what concentration, because federal law requires no one to sample the holes. The Ghost Fleet in the San Francisco Bay is one of three National Defense Reserve fleets that Congress ordered scrapped by September 30, 2006. Shipbreaking has taken on urgency in Oregon, as a Virginia firm wants to open at least one strip and salvage operation on the Oregon coast. Experts, including a marine biologist for the Smithsonian Environmental Research Center and Portland State University, said the risk posed by exotic species is real.
Voter-owned elections became law in Portland earlier this year, but a petition drive is underway to make voters reconsider the law in the May 2006 elections. KBOO's Stephanie Potter has more.
You may have answered your door recently and been asked to sign a petition that could overturn Portland's recently enacted voter-owned elections law. Ellie Booth is with the First Things First Committee, the organization funding the petition drive.
I think our main point is that we want to allow the voters of Portland to have a chance to have a say in this, and we, at this point in time, think that there are more important priorities that the city has to spend its taxpayer dollars on.
Sarah Weatherspoon of Money and Politics Action Committee says she's concerned about who's behind First Things First.
It's supporters of the Portland Business Alliance, Quest, and PGE. You know, wealthy special interests who want to take back the power that was taken away from them with the enactment of voter-owned elections in the city of Portland.
Voter-owned elections are now operating in states and cities as diverse as Arizona, Connecticut, Maine, and Albuquerque.
We see third-party candidates getting elected. In Arizona, we've seen an increase in people of color and women getting into office. So we really see a broad kind of diversity of people getting elected. And, you know, in Arizona, you also see, for example, a Republican who didn't like the system, and after running under the system, came to realize how much better a campaigner he was able to be.
Under Portland's new law, which was enacted by the City Council last spring, candidates who choose to run under the system limit their fundraising to $5 contributions. Once they collect 1,000 such contributions, they're eligible for up to $350,000 from the city treasury. Proponents say this would help end the influence of big money in politics.
Under the private financing system, special interest contributors give large amounts of money to candidates. So in 2004 in Portland, candidates ended up raising 69% of their cash from 7% of their donors. That's just their donors. That's not even like looking at the population of the city. So you have to wonder who they're talking to during the election cycle.
Amanda Fritz, a neighborhood volunteer, environmentalist, and nursing union activist, has been the first to qualify for funds under the new law. Fritz countered arguments that the law makes it easy for anyone to take money from the city.
It was incredibly difficult to me to be asking people for money for a political campaign. It felt very different from all of the fundraising I've done for schools and parks before. I liked the bringing people in and the only asking them for $5, but it really taught me that our current system where politicians call and ask for hundreds of dollars from individual donors is a sick way to run elections.
She said the law does allow candidates the chance to connect with ordinary voters.
I collected donations from 90 of the city's 95 neighborhoods. And the people who donated, when I look at the occupations, they're not real estate people, they're not big business, they're not downtown development interests. They're teachers and nurses and carpenters and painters and retired people and full-time parents. And those people have not previously been able to pony up the kind of big bucks that are currently buying elections.
Addressing concerns that the money would better be spent on needed public services, Fritz argues that greater access to the democratic process is also highly needed.
It works out to be about 30 cents per Portland resident that will be funding my campaign. And considering that I'm running for the public good and I'm hoping to serve the public good, I think that 30 cents, people should feel that that's a good investment of their money.
Amanda Fritz, the first candidate to the city council funded by voter-owned elections. The original plan in Portland was to have voters test how the new law worked and then vote on whether to ratify it in 2010. I'm Stephanie Potter, KBOO News.
The National Security Agency first began to conduct warrantless eavesdropping on telephone calls and email messages between the United States and Afghanistan months before President Bush officially authorized it, according to current and former government officials. The security agency surveillance of telecommunications between the United States and Afghanistan began in the immediate aftermath of September 11th. The agency operation included eavesdropping on communications between Americans and other individuals in the United States and people in Afghanistan without the court-approved search warrants that are normally required for such domestic intelligence activities. On Saturday, President Bush confirmed the existence of the security agency's domestic intelligence collection program and defended it, saying it had been instrumental in disrupting terrorist cells in America. After the September 11th attacks, the Bush administration and senior American intelligence officials quickly decided that existing laws and regulations restricting the government's ability to monitor American communications were too rigid to permit quick and flexible access to international calls and email traffic involving terrorist suspects. Bush administration officials also believed that the intelligence community had been too risk-averse before the attacks and had missed opportunities to prevent them. It could not be learned whether Bush issued a formal written order authorizing the early surveillance of communications between the United States and Afghanistan that was later superseded by the broader order. This, according to the Washington Post.
Preliminary results from most of Baghdad's ballot boxes showed the Shia United Iraqi Alliance leading with 58% of the vote in Iraq's biggest electoral district.